Oh, hello there, everybody. Happy New Year from the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. Look, we got a whole new year ahead of us of hopefully a bunch of interesting guests and fun shows and all sorts of things. But the best thing you could do for us, best thing you can do is share the podcast with your friends, your family, your loved ones. Leave a little review on iTunes. That is what really helps. So if you really have enjoyed the show and never really shared it, never left a review, do us a favor. Please do so. So before we get to this episode, just want to go over our awesome sponsors that are still with us heading into the new year. First one is Manskirt Brewing, located in Hackettstown, New Jersey, in the old bank building. Go check it out. Joe Fisher over there in his Manskirt, and he just had a cool mural painted on the wall. He just expanded the amount of beers that are on tap there. Just a very cool place. They got their Penny Top Amber Ale coming on tap this week, and then Canning Day is going to be January 19th for the border, so you're going to see some Manskirt products kind of popping up all over the place, or you could purchase them from the brewery. So give them a little love. Go over to their Facebook, their Instagram, and check out Manskirt Brewing. Okay. The other brewery that sponsors this podcast is Demented Brewing, kind of the opposite end of New Jersey. Go down 287, and in Middlesex, New Jersey, you're going to find Demented Brewing, who is just doing a ton of cool things. They have their Sour Legion, okay, that if you join, you get these access to special sour releases. In fact, on January 15th is their first release of Ode Brewing, their first sour. But they got like 16 different tap handles. They're always doing things to the Randall on, I think it's Tuesdays, but it's just a really awesome place, and the growth they've shown in a year is just amazing. This Sunday, they're going to be releasing their New England-style IPA. So a lot of things going on. Give them a like on Facebook or Instagram. That is Demented Brewing. Wolf Nation, Wake Up, Live Free is a clothing apparel company for those people who want to do their own thing. Make their own way in the world, you know, not collecting that 40-hour-a-week paycheck. Okay. Wolf Nation, Wake Up, Live Free. Finally, Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Trivia Revolution has, they have sites all over, locations all over New Jersey now. North Jersey, South Jersey, West Jersey. If you want to come to Tap House 15 on Wednesday nights, you'll see me hosting and come play a game. But you play trivia. You can win prizes to the bars. You can win prizes to New Jersey craft breweries. And it's just a good time. There's bonus items online that you could bring in for extra points. You could win if you're in last place. And trust me, it happens all the time. So Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. All right, guys, on this episode of the podcast, very special episode, kind of coming full circle from when we really started getting guests originally on the podcast. One of my favorite guests of all time comes back. That is Paul Templer, and he's a man who was attacked by a hippopotamus. I hope New Year's was good to you, the holiday season, but we are back and we are in full swing, so please enjoy the podcast.
Hey, this is Paul Templer, hippo attack survivor, chap who makes the most out of being in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you are listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Michael Berlow, Happy New Year, buddy.
We're back. 2017.
Still
a team.
This is like year four of the podcast, technically, I think. Mm-hmm. Because like the first year was a little choppy. Like it was like whenever. Second year was more focused. This last year, super focused. But we are back. Happy New Year, buddy. I don't know if you're a big New Year kind of guy.
I was out last night. That's about it.
Yeah. I never liked New Year's. I never really. I don't know. Like,
well, I'm a guy. I can't stand like a party where there's hundreds of people and you can't even move a quarter of an inch.
Yeah, but even like the celebration of a New Year, I don't know. Sometimes it's almost depressing in a way. It's like, oh man, another year I didn't accomplish a lot of goals. Another year I'm older. Another year my parents are older. I know I'm cheering everyone up right off the bat.
What else? What, puppies die?
Puppies die. I don't know. Like another year, I'm further and further away from my childhood is further. It's a long distant memory at this point.
I never stopped my childhood. So
yeah, we know. Right. Every New Year is like, well, next year I'll grow up.
One of these days I'll look up maturity. 401k, screw that.
Can't spell it. Uh-huh. But New Year's is whatever. It is what it is. It's, I don't know. It's kind of like a bittersweet thing to me. But, I mean, like, I think of the show, because you guys are tuning into the show. I look back to this year. Quite an impressive year for this show.
Sweet amount of guests, yeah.
I typed them all out earlier today and made, like, a little post or whatever. Yeah. And, like, I even forget about some of them. Like, I forget.
Yeah, somebody brought up that you forgot them.
Oh, yeah. Please. Please. but I forget some of them. But, like, I look back and it's like there's a very solid variety of guests and
different interests, you know, different weirdness.
We did, we looked back and did, I think we did 43 episodes last year,
mm-hmm.
which is a little shy of what we want to do, but I guess there were a couple weeks where it was a 2-week break or something like that.
You were on vacation, I was on vacation,
stuff like that. But we got to talk to like a lot of people, like. Some were, like, very inspirational people. Like, some of the guests turned out to be way better than I thought they would be. Some, I was like, how did we get this person to talk to? Like, I don't know. Like, someone like Lilo Brancato. Like,
yeah.
The kid from... I know he had, like, a ton of problems and stuff like that. And he's, you know, he may or may not be a dirtbag. But just to talk to him, it's like, I watched that movie growing up, like, all the time and... The guy from Deadliest Catch, I look back on. I'm like, whoa, that was pretty.
Yeah, Jamaican bobsledder.
Jamaican bobsledder, yeah. You know, there's a lot of variety there. I don't...
There were some surprise fun ones. I really like Gandy Jones. I thought he was entertaining.
Which one? The first take or the second take?
I would assume the second take considering and stuff. Yeah. Rain Dove went through the same process.
Yeah, we've probably done that.
At least Rain Dove, it was the same day. It was like, can you just stay on live for another hour and a half?
Yeah. I mean, I look back at this list. I'm looking at it now. Russell Davis, amazing interview. That was so much fun. Like, he was just a fun dude. Like, yeah. Aaron Iz was really cool. We, like, later on that year established, like, a relationship when I was trying to help him with the Orlando shooting.
Yeah.
So here's a guy I'm like, I love the Devin Harris. I love that Jamaican bobsled team. Like, who'd ever thought, you know? Mm-hmm. Zoltan Istvan, that one turned out to be, like, awesome.
Oh, yeah, really cool.
And those other two.
He got my vote.
Yeah, Mary Jo Waymeyer or something like that. But Zoltan Istvan.
Yeah.
Augie Carton, my favorite brewery in Jersey. You know, like, big standouts for me were, like, Riley Breckenridge from Thrice. Like, that was a huge one for me. You know, like, in I don't know. But then you talk to, like, inspirational people like the... The Blind Hiker, Trevor Thomas, and stuff like that.
That was a great one.
So it's like Maurice Ashley. That was a really cool one. Like, mm-hmm. all these things kind of pop out of nowhere. And it's like, not to toot your own horn, because people don't understand. Like, when we do a podcast, it's a guest-focused podcast. Yeah, we do some weeks where there's no guests. It's the work never stops. We don't have a PR team that's getting people for us. We don't have... it's not like there's a demand to be on the show or anything like that. Like, it's like we have any leverage. So it's like sometimes interviews will have to be done. Like, they have, we have this half hour, got to do it, or, you know, something will happen. And, but eventually the goal would be to like have people contact us. Hey, I want to be on your show. That's why, like, the couple people who have been like, hey, interview my friend. I'm like, absolutely. Cause yeah. that demand.
That's how we got a Goatman, if I recall.
Yep, Goatman was exactly. He was the same for Inspector Collector.
There we go.
He was the same, and the Goatman interview was wild.
Awesome! I could have talked to him for an hour.
Yeah. I would love to get him back on, see what he's doing next.
That Goatman now?
No, it goes bah every time he. But it's so stupid. That's me. Sorry, but. I look back and it's just a very successful year, and it's like, as far as the show, like, anything really is possible. Like, we used to be like, yeah, no way.
A lot of these are like, oh shit, they said yes. Like, oh, okay, you know, like, all right, let's do this, you know. And
I mean, that's how we got our all over January. It was just me.
Yeah, like trucking. We're pretty full in January. We got a couple things, which is good, you know. And there might be double up days in there, but at one point early in the year, remember we were like swamped. We had like we're like, okay, we gotta do this. But so hopefully we keep that consistency going. So as far as the podcast, the goal for me this year would be like to keep putting out, just keep grabbing people from every walk of life. Just keep the variety is what keeps us going. The big guests are what makes it go whoa, you know, like if that makes sense. Like the variety is what, again, I always say the dirty jobs of podcasts. That's what I kind of like base the show off of, like, hey, we can grab this guy or this girl that does this. But then every once in a while, that big name, like, there's a couple we're talking to now that hopefully we'll actually do it, you know? Yeah. Like, and I keep the one thing, like, I know I do is I follow up on these people that say maybe or, yeah, in the future. I just try to, like, every couple months be like, hey, just checking in, you know? And sometimes it's like they submit. All right, I'll give you 5 minutes, you know? Like, but hopefully anybody who does listen has enjoyed it. But, you know, not... You know, you've got to give ourselves credit. It's a lot of work sometimes. Rounding up is a lot of work. And I've realized that's what the strength of the show is the guests. So it's not about us bantering about, like, the Dukes of Hazzard. Yeah, that stuff is funny. And that stuff is fun.
There's nothing funny about Dukes of Hazzard. It's all seriousness.
There. But it's what makes it special to me. I mean, we've been doing this for 130 episodes, 131 today, so that's over.
I guess about 105 for me.
Yeah, that's about 200 hours, at least, of audio. But, like, is there an episode that stands out to you this year or anything like that?
This year. I mean, I really enjoyed Maurice Ashley. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was super cool.
One you missed, I really, like...
Yeah, that one, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't my fault, but I was kicking myself. I couldn't be a part of that.
Of course. I mean, you're away, but... I don't know if you listened to that one. It was, like, super powerful.
I some of it. I mean, very inspirational.
And that one was great. with just Tom Verney, by the way.
Well, what else? What was, like, an episode that you...
What I really liked. I mean, we talked about Gandy Jones. He was just kind of surprisingly fun to talk to. I mean, even some of our, like, comedy friends were... It was always good to just, like, keep up with it. I mean, even, like, Don Bagnata and his wife. And I remember that we were at their house. It was funny. You fell on flat on your ass.
Yep.
I coined the catchphrase, I'm the co-host.
Yeah, you coined it. Because everybody waits for you to say it. They're like,
oh, my God, he's got it.
Dude, the T-shirt sales just through the roof.
Yeah. Yeah, but another, like, weird thing is, like, one of the things we do is, like, we put, like, goals, like, of, like... We talk about who we would get on. One of them was, like, we wanted to get someone from The Walking Dead. And we didn't, like, go after someone from The Walking Dead. But just from doing comedy and, like, just this weird thing, Sean turns out to be on this upcoming 8 episodes of The Walking Dead and is a video gamer. So it's just this weird, you never know. You just never know. And I think that's kind of, like, important to keep, I don't know, in your mind, not to get too... serious, but I don't know. You just never know. I liked Jeremiah Wonkins from the Roast Battle. Mm-hmm. The Roast Battle's back on. I saw him last night. I'm like, gosh, I definitely got to next time I saw him tweet or something like that.
Exactly.
Like, but Eddie Brill, I think, is that was a little announcement about him later. But Eddie Brill, like, his story is, like, ridiculous. You know, he's talking to every amazing comic ever. Like, now he's talking to us, you know? So it's like this thing is growing. Yeah. Goals for this year would definitely be to get our listenership spiked back up. Just keep looking for new outlets, and I also like to bring in a bunch of third mics, like, kind of keep people coming in, because that always adds a little variety. And like I said, the other thing I want to do is start, like, a podcast kind of network, which is, it doesn't even necessarily have to be a network per se, but more of an alliance of podcasts and help promote each other's cast on their cast. I reached out to a couple people, a couple friends, but all in all, not going anywhere. I'm sure we'll be here at the end of the year with our Christmas episode and our terrible Halloween episode, and you know, keep it rocking.
Yeah, possibly a shenanigan showdown.
Oh, well, that was next on the list.
edited that out.
No. We don't edit anything out. We barely edit anything. That's another thing. I used to, like, go through and be like, screw that. I'm like, most of it's just natural anyway. Like, what am I going to do, edit out me saying something?
No! But,
let's get into the showdown now, and then we'll get our guest on.
All right.
All right, you are the champion, buddy.
My friends.
For those of you who don't know, we had this little competition with a bunch of challenges. They're worth point values. You had to do them during the year and accomplish them. So congrats for that.
Thank you.
We'll get to what you did in a minute. But overall, we definitely got to tweak it. I think what happened for me, I had all these things, and then like time kept going by. And it was like, well, we got to do the show, or we got to do this, or now with family. And it started to become like almost a hassle, and I would start forgetting them, and it became like almost too big of a bit, or whatever you want to call it. So I think we could definitely refine it. I missed a couple things like that I was gonna do, and didn't, you know, time and responsibility just comes in and you just forget. Yeah. Like, I forgot so many things that
I know you're talking about, like on July 31st you were gonna do the Christmas at the shore, and then you couldn't find your sweater.
Yeah, I couldn't find my sweater. I wanted to do the thing when I went down the Delaware. I wanted to make a, and just like time kept going and going and going. And I was gonna do one this week with the spam thing. I had an idea for that, but it was just like,
yeah,
I don't know, between like emailing for the show and promoting the show and editing the show and doing the show, I started getting like it was like the last priority. It started to be like put down. It was fun. I mean, but I think we can come up with ideas to make it better or more fun. Yeah. You know, like more, and I think more obtainable things might be better. Stuff like that. What about you? You knocked out two in the end.
I knocked out two in the end because in the back
which I'm laughing because a guy at work was like, "Dude, your guy put a video of him shoplifting." I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." So might go to jail.
Well, no, it's a 20-cent.
Well, you might get a fine. You might get a fine.
I won't say the company. The funny thing was, I kind of did because I looked at the score. I'm like, you know, if Scott wanted to be like a dick, he could like put something up at like 11:59.
It's funny you say that because I was trying to think of three things, like 20 pointers I could do in one shot and do like 10 of them in a row.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't come up with a combination that would get me there. I was thinking the same exact thing.
And that's what I was saying. I'm like, all right, it's 70-25. Barring him marrying somebody at midnight on New Year's,
awesome.
I got
that'd be awesome. But then you could have been like, well, that's technically the first day of the next year.
I was thinking about, all right, do I keep a pound of olive loaf in my car just in case?
First off, I don't doubt there is a pound of olive loaf in your car somewhere.
Amongst other things.
But yeah, you ate the bug. How was that?
It had no flavor. It was
what did you buy? Like the feeder?
I bought crickets from PetSmart.
Oh, my God.
The feeder ones. I did one. I let the rest go. And
were you a little like,
I didn't
weird it out at all, or just, you just
I didn't
went
blink an eye because people eat crickets. I mean, some cultures do it. Even some like naturists, they do it because they say it's got a lot of protein.
Indians love cricket.
Yeah. Oh, that's a game.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, sorry.
But yeah, I put it in my mouth. I ate it, but there was nothing that came of it. Maybe if there was like more in a sauce, I don't know. But yeah. Kind of the point was, it was like, all right, this is easy. I can get it down. That's a 20-pointer. Let me get a little space here. So
yeah, the other thing I was going through, like a lot of them required like full nights out. And I was like, like when I'm home, I'm like, I ain't going. Like vampire clubs. And
that would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, we could still take some of them. Well, here's what I was thinking, and we're going to get to our guest in about 2 minutes here.
All right.
Maybe we could do something. We could do one of two things. We could do like a March Madness type thing, where it's like a month to get all this done.
I think a month is the best one. But try, let me hear
the other thing I was thinking is like there's a weekly challenge. One, like you give one thing to each other. That's it. One thing.
You got a week to do it. If you don't do it, you don't.
It's on. It's gone. It could be old challenges. It could be one of your own challenges. It could be anything new. The goal would be obtainable. Maybe get less exotic, you know, and kind of keep like it's worth whatever 5 points per week, and then it kind of, then it's a cumulative, but it's more.
I like that just in the sense that it keeps people to the end.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, this is your week's challenge.
Yeah, and that's it. It's this week's, and if you don't get it done by the time we record the next podcast, that would be the rule. So if for some reason we're not recording, it would extend to the day we hit the minute we hit record on the next episode.
Yep.
So then we have something to talk about right away. So I thought
I'd
about
be down with that. The only question mark is like the some weeks that we're going to take like a week off. It's always a question mark. Is in,
yeah.
Are we going to have enough? Well, we
I mean, I think if we take the next week and we think about it, like we won't start today, but if we think about it, it could be funny. And you know, like I just kind of lost sight of it. And brutal honesty, I just like it just became like on the back burner and something like, oh crap, I got to get to that.
Is
oh,
that
crap.
Why you were looking for a fish spear or a spear?
Oh no, but I thought about that. After, I was just looking through the sale thing for. But it's funny because after I put that up, one of my friends is like, oh, I spearfish all the time. I'm like, damn it. Like, I wish I, you know, like
that would have been an easy 20 points.
Yeah. I did get the marriage thing. I tried putting some things on Craigslist. No one bit. No one really bit.
You couldn't convince Dom and Kim?
I don't think so. But you know what? Like, we'll reform. You won. I thought maybe, you know, we'll do the middle of the time things. Maybe we'll bring the girls out and make it out, and I'll pay for you.
Mm-hmm.
And make it like a night instead of us just being weirdos and going to medieval times together.
We're podcast buddies.
But we'll think of something. Think about over the next week. I think the idea of the super guest is still fun because that would add points. Like, holy shit.
Oh, yeah. Or like I kept on trying to get Garfunkel.
I tried Robert Englund 100 different ways. Kelvin Bryant, by the way, might be dead because I contacted the North Carolina Museum of like football and athletes and a million different things. No one knows where he is.
That's a funny thing. Like, I think like a month back, I'm like, how hard can it be to find Kelvin Bryant? And then I started doing it. I'm like, oh my God, he's nowhere.
See, like that would be like if we had a challenge today. I'm like, oh, it's not it. You find Kelvin Bryant. There's your So I think it could be funny. Like, we could recycle some old things. We could, of course, do new things, but I think our goal should be like, okay, can he obtain that in a week? Because it's more fun when we do the things.
Exactly.
Like, you know? But I lost. I, you know, head between my tail and kissing my ass. I lost. I know I did. I just very busy. I know it's an excuse, but I think we're going to refine it, and then maybe for next week's episode, unleash the new Shenanigans Showdown, the Up 2.0. You know, like everything's always got to be updated and refined and shined up and whatnot. And congratulations, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. I want to, we got a lot of things to go over in a little bit, kind of. But let's get to our guest, okay? You know, we always have a guest. And I'm very pumped about this one because it is the return of one of my favorite guests on
Michael Myers.
Even like in our description, if you read the description of the show, I always include what this guy did, okay? Because it's always like a funny, quirky tagline, like, oh, and they had a hippo attack survivor. Yeah.
And so then you end it with what Burla will do if you listen.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. But I like this episode so much because it not only does it represent one of my favorite episodes in general, this is one of the first episodes that are thinking in the car, BSing, like I was like, oh, imagine getting like a hippo text. If I were, I was doing a bit on a hippo, and this organic conversation happened. Eventually, we found a guy. He called me at work. Long story, blah, 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 blah. Eventually, we got him on. It was like, I think, the first solidifying moment, like, oh my God, we can get people on this show.
Yeah.
And there are people out there talking. They're like, no matter what the idea is, and our strategy has been like, maybe we can't get the A guy in this, but we can get the B's and C's, you know, which might lead to an A, you know, like, so that's to keep in mind. But we're bringing one of my all-time favorite guests back on, Mr. Paul Templer.
Oh, I can't wait.
So Paul Templer, for those of you who don't know, was attacked by a hippo, lost his arm. He's a motivational speaker. So we're going to get Paul on the line, and this is a good opportunity. If you stop it right here and go back to episode, we'll find what episode it is, and listen to the first one and hear his whole story because he's got a lot of new things going on. So this is Paul Templer.
Boop, 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 boop.
Oh, that's a sale. Never mind.
Paul Templer.
Be honest, it's under hippo guy on your cell.
hippo dude.
Hi, it's Paul Templer. Can I help you?
Oh, Paul Templer. It's Scott Brennan from Verbal Shenanigans. How are you?
Hey, Scott. Good. How are you doing?
We're doing good, man. We just saying you're the first guest of the new year, and it's appropriate because, you know, your episode was when we were pretty early on in this thing, and a couple hundred later, we're bringing you back. So it's all, one of my all-time favorite episodes.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. And, thanks for inviting me back.
Absolutely. You might remember Mike. Mike's here.
Howdy, sir.
I do. Hey, Mike.
How's it going, my friend?
Good, thanks. Good, thanks. Did you guys like the grown-up way I answered the phone? Hi, it's Paul Templer. Can I help you?
Yeah, we know you're trying to mature, but I'm not buying it. So.
Working at it.
But, Paul, I mean, I guess, like, you know, it would be appropriate, real quick, to kind of go over your backstory a little bit. I know we had on the last episode, but that's, like I said, that's almost a year and a half, longer than that ago. So, Paul was a, I guess you could sum it up real quick, but you were doing a tour.
A river safari.
Right, in the safari, and you were unfortunately attacked by a hippopotamus. Now, if I remember correctly, your background, you had a lot of military training and things like that. But if you could sum it up in like a few paragraphs for people who don't know you, because I really want to focus on the, you know, what's going on now in your life kind of part, but we got to give the context here. If you could sum it up for people a little bit.
Okay. Let's see, 40,000 foot. So fairly mediocre, average student. grew up in Africa. The day after I finished high school, set off to discover what was going on in the world. Spent a few years gallivanting around. Like you mentioned, spent some time I was in the British Army for a while. Spent some time leading extreme expeditions, traveled around the world. Probably spent a little too much time enjoying myself.
No such thing.
And then ended up back in Africa and fell back in love with the great outdoors and set off a career in the safari industry. And it was perfect. Got to work in the outdoors, exciting adventure, made a pretty good living. Until one day, paddling along the mighty Zambezi River, just above Victoria Falls, life seemed pretty darn good. Right up until I heard like behind me.
Wait, what was it? What was it?
What was it?
You ever get bored of telling the same story and just change up the animal every once in a while?
So this giraffe had me in the mouth.
Actually, I was just in London, and someone asked me what happened to my arm. I said I fell off a double-decker bus. And you know what? Nowhere near as interested.
Yeah. But well, anyway, definitely not.
Yeah. Yeah. But the wasn't me falling off a bus. It was a hippo hitting one of the canoes on our safari. At that point, saw the guy in the back getting catapulted out. I thought, ooh, better go and rescue him. Paddled towards him, pulled up. I was just reaching over to grab a hold of him to save him because there's this grumpy hippo there. When the hippo kind of came up out of the water, jaws agape, and bit down on me. The reason I can say he bit down on me isn't because I saw it or realized it at the time. It was because at the time, everything just went dark and quiet, and it was kind of surreal. A few moments ticked by as I tried to figure out, hey, what's going on? Pressure on my lower back. I couldn't move. But then I got one hand free, and feeling around, I felt the bristles on that hippo's snout. So that's how I know this hippo came out of the water and snapped me. Took me into the river. What followed on from there was about 3 and a bit minutes of absolute mayhem as the hippo tried to tear me apart. It became for me what has been definitively the bad day at the office.
One might say that, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, you went on, you unfortunately lost a limb. almost lost your life. And if people want to go back and listen to the whole account of that, please do. But so you went on, you recovered from it, and you've been doing a lot of, I know you wrote a book, and I know you do a lot of motivational speaking and whatnot. And talking to your people recently this week, it seems like you got a lot of different things going on. I know recently you you did something with I guess a group or a foundation called Aaron's Light in Nicaragua. Can you shed a little light on that?
Sure. So after the whole hippo thing, we ran an expedition. There's not a huge demand for one-armed guys with safari and army backgrounds. So went and ran a first ascent extreme expedition. And along the way, I met this incredible woman who, believe it or not, agreed to marry me.
I believe the hippo more.
That was a very good hippo impersonation, by the way. So married her. Only problem is she lives in the States. So I come across to the States in theory to get married and live happily ever after, only to find not a huge demand for one-armed safari guides in Detroit. So now it's
nowadays.
Well, yeah. There could be something coming.
There could be some safaris over there, that's for sure.
Right. But when I met this gal, Kerry, we were in the midst of doing this first ascent of the Zambezi River. It had never been canoed from source to sea. And we were doing that to launch a foundation, a 501c3 that I'd set up here in the U.S. You see, me getting eaten by the hippo got a lot of interest. So I thought, hey, why not leverage that interest and actually do something good out of it? And there were a lot of people who were getting blown up by landmines and stuff and eaten by animals who didn't have all the resources I had. So we set up this little foundation, and over the years, it's just going from strength to strength. And the Nicaragua thing you were referencing, I have a profound special needs child. She's had a lot going on, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a miracle she's still here. And we're in a place that has all the resources available. Right. So I look at families who are dealing with terminally and chronically ill special needs kids around the world, particularly those below the poverty line, and they get kind of shafted. So I thought, okay, let's get a program together. So worked with some folks and designed this incredible early intervention program. And we've started running pilots in Africa, in Nicaragua was the one you referenced, and we're getting to produce some pretty cool results. We're going out. So the program basically helps parents and kids to make the most out of what they got, focused on a third world scenario, and it's pretty cool.
So what made you choose Nicaragua of all the countries as one of your projects?
I've discovered that I have very little to say with this. I got a phone call one day from someone who said, I've heard about your program. Would you be willing to take it to Nicaragua? And so I called up my assistant, Madonna, who can speak Spanish. I said, hey, you want to go to Nicaragua for a week or two? She's like, sure. And so we made connections and we flew over there and she translated. And the weirdest thing with this is sometimes when you just take the first step, everything else seems to align. We're going back in March to take the program nationwide, is our intent. At the moment, we're working directly we've got a team of about 15 on the ground dealing with a couple of hundred families.
Now, when you're working on something like that is, you know, a charity kind of based thing. How do you how do you fund that? Do you fund it through donations? Is it a company that does it? Is it all this personal money? Like, how does that work?
At the moment and to date, it's kind of been personal, okay. Primarily because I really suck at fundraising. and I figure rather go and work. I can make the money as quickly and use that. But it's getting to the scale now that I have a team who are like, you know what, you need to get your act together here.
Okay. Now, yeah. You're also building that program out, right? You're possibly going to Malaysia? is what I was told.
Absolutely. There's a bunch of countries this year that we're hoping to spread it out. We're looking at Malaysia potentially. We're looking at Syria potentially. There's a couple more countries in Africa that are looking at it. We've got it in 4 different languages so far. And just with the kind of attention it's getting from UNESCO and UNICEF and a lot of NGOs, it's taking root. And people are quite excited about it.
Now, what kind of dangers do you have to go through when you're dealing with some of these countries? Or do you get a lot of help from the government and coming in and helping out the families?
You know, I'm not saying, because they won't let me into their countries if I do say, I'm not saying that the governments don't help.
gotcha.
We know we're digging what you shovel here.
And whilst dealing with special needs may be something they may give a care about,
right?
It definitely doesn't make it onto their radar. We're very fortunate that we are able to connect with some of the non-governmental organizations, utilize work with some of the churches, don't care which denomination,
right?
And just find a way to get to grassroots level. Once people see that it's effective and it starts to take root, then the government involvement starts to become more pronounced. Like in Nicaragua, for an example, before we could go anywhere, we had to do a presentation and show what we were doing to the various ministries. And once they give it the green light, as long as we're going to pay for it, they're happy to let us run with it.
Now, like an average day, like, you know, like you hear, like, you work with special needs, but like an average day down there, what are you actually doing? Like, what are you doing with these children? Like, your presence down there, are you in classes? Are you talking? Like, what's going on?
So, yeah, what we did first day was to go and so when we went there, it was just before the election. So people were a little concerned that there might be some political motivation behind it. So first off, you got to meet with all the locals and convince them that there's nothing political. It's about let's help the kids. So we bring all the families together. We have a chit chat. I introduce them. It was kind of cool. On an iPad, I got my kids' class in the States and got them to talk to these little kids. So basically just trying to get them to trust us. Next, we go see how the world actually is versus how we think it is. And this is where we get to go and see these people living just so far below the poverty line. Very limited access to meds. I went into this one little hut. This was kind of the deal maker for me. So I walk into this little hut, and it's very clean, but it's got like a dirt floor, and there's this car seat in the middle of the floor. And there's this little kid in the car seat who's just having nonstop seizures. And I look at her and I go up to her and I'm like, oh, her name was Valeria. And through the translator, through Madonna, I found out that this little kid had the same thing that my daughter has.
Interesting.
And that this little kid with no meds was still alive was just beyond me. But then I looked around and saw the siblings and the mom, and the dad was working in the next village because that was the only place for work. And it was like there, but for the grace of God, guy, because it was the mirror image of what I've got going on. But over there, they had no medicine. They had no food. They didn't have a freaking door to their hut. So a day in their life will be they now have a caregiver from my foundation who shows up twice a week, helps out the mom, helps out the kids, helps out connecting them with getting the meds. And then we've got this program. So instead of Valeria just lying in this car seat, her parents are now learning how to engage with her so that whatever she can do, they give her the chance to do. It's kind of cool because out there, before we arrived there, there was this complete stigma with special needs kids.
Yeah.
And by the time we left, the people were bringing kids out, and I'm laughing not because it's funny, it's because it's kind of crazy to me. Neighbors didn't even know these people had kids. They'd been embarrassed about them and hiding them in the back of their huts for years.
Jeez.
So this is opening up the conversation that special needs kids actually can contribute to the society. They don't have to be embarrassed about them, and it's been cool the way it's been embraced.
Now, between your own children having special needs and, you know, in a way now yourself, you know, not mentally, but, you know, physically handicapped. Do you find any connection to that? You know, seeing how you lost an arm and you went from a perfectly able-bodied man to someone who needs some assistance. Do you have any connection through that?
I think I do. The thing is, truth be told, I'm a bit of a jackass. Oh, can I say that on air?
Oh, you can say whatever you want. You can.
All words are for you.
Yeah, if you want to curse out the hippo, like what you really want to say, let us know.
So yeah, I'm kind of a fool example with that. Like when I lost my arm and joined the disabled or whatever we're called community. My whole reason for doing that first descent 3 months through the gates of hell expedition was to prove to myself and everyone else that I wasn't. And all I ended up doing was putting a few of my fellow travelers' lives at risk because they had to keep coming to save me. Things would go pear-shaped. So I kind of started to get a little more comfortable with the whole disabled thing. The interesting thing with having had it happen partway through my life, I could see the world from both sides.
Right.
So I thought I had a handle on this right up until I took my kids and taught them how to ski. Was I in the middle of this when I spoke to you last, guys?
I don't think so.
Doesn't sound familiar.
Either way.
Okay, so I take my kids skiing, and I'm like, okay, guys, because I had ski bummed a season, and I thought I was pretty cool, and I'm going to teach them how to ski. And we leave home. I tell my wife, honey, we'll be fine. We'll be safe. Anyway, fast forward the tape a little bit, and I'm lying on the ground, and the medevac person is sitting next to me going, we've got a 45-year-old male on Idiot's Hill. We need an extraction. Can you believe they call it Idiot's Hill? So I'm lying there, and my leg is going in like 20 different directions. And I'd done a number on it, like tibia plateau. I'd crushed the tibia down. I'd destroyed the body. Anyway, short version of long story is a couple of surgeries later.
Jesus.
More metal than I have in my arm, in my leg now. Just a mess. But now picture this. This is a long way of getting back to your disabled story. So now I'm going through airports because I can't stop working. And I got my suitcase on my lap. I'm in a wheelchair. One foot out front, one arm. So it's this one-armed, one-leg dude on a wheelchair, kind of scooting through airports. And that's probably when I felt disabled, because the weird thing is, in a wheelchair, you become invisible.
Maybe a nice, cushy office job is in the future for you, you know?
Administrative assistant would work well for Paul Templer, I know. Think.
Pretty soon you're going to be like half cyborg, you know? Like you should be in Westworld.
The good news is it's all on the left-hand side, so hey, I'm holding out.
Oh, good. That's the creative side anyway. Yeah. You know?
Could happen.
I mean, it's really cool that it's actually, you know, that's kind of one of the inspiring parts about talking to you is not giving up the movie. You know, you went skiing, you had an accident. It could have happened if you were... You know, if you had your arm, you know, and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to think like that is, you know, I feel like that's where when people really get into ruts, when they stop doing everything they love.
I think you're right there.
But you have a lot of other things going on, apparently. I hear there's a little rumor of you maybe going up a small hill.
Idiot's Hill again?
Idiot's Hill again?
I will conquer Idiot's Hill in 2017.
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny. I am planning on conquering it. My wife is like, she is so over me doing these kind of things, so I know she won't be listening to this. But I just got this brace that they say is unbreakable, so I will conquer Idiot's Hill.
Listen. I bought my dog a million toys that said indestructible, never have to return. I've had he just rips them apart in 4 seconds. So just be careful out there.
Way to blow my balloon.
We're here with Paul Templer. I understand you're in an iron lung right now.
You're just going to look like a knight soon. You're just going to look like someone from like King Arthur's Round Table.
What was that? The Monty Python? It's just a flesh wound.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But a flesh wound, governor.
But yes, I hear you. So you're going to conquer Idiot's Hill, but I also heard you have bigger goals in play.
Bigger goals, bigger aspirations. Heading off to the Himalayas, there's a few small hills there which we want to go climb. And we're also, myself and a couple of other folks thought it would be fun to go around the world and meet people who kind of had a similar background to mine.
Okay.
Basically, who had done adventurous things and were unemployable, so they had to go and do something else. So we're going to, I think we've got Israel, Uruguay, the Himalayas, South Africa, and we're going to go and find places to do cool stuff. So like in the Himalayas, there's an incredible program where people are, we're looking to support these folks who are building a bridge over this pass so some Sherpas can go to school, build a school. Wherever we go, we're going to see if we can take Aaron's Light, that special needs program. Okay.
So you're going to try to go up Everest then?
Yeah. Doesn't that sound like fun?
Now, you're doing the charity with it. How do you plan about doing that? Are you just going to climb with a team, or are you, like, what's the plan?
Oh, no. Whoever told you this was kind of naughty because it's still in the design phase.
Oh.
we're going – it's very much organized with a chap who is incredibly competent at getting people up and down the hill.
Awesome.
And he's really the spearhead and actually one of the most inspirational and motivational guys I know. So, once we got it signed up, I'll drop you guys a note.
Awesome.
Maybe we can do part three from an iron lung atop Mount Everest.
Yeah, if you can plant a Verbal Shenanigans flag on top of Everest, we really appreciate it. We need a little promotion there.
That would work.
Just make sure the iTunes link is nice and clear on the flag.
Yeah, you
know? Got it. Yeah.
I mean, with all these adventures worldwide, I mean, you being an inspirational speaker, when you go to these new places, do you kind of seek out the culture to kind of figure out things for your inspirational talks, or does it come to you? Does it matter?
You know, what I found is wherever I go in the world, if I take the time to shut up and listen to what people have to say, it seems that for the most part, we're all the same. We all get pretty stressed over the same things. And once we can all get to see that BS, that's being stressed, of course, is optional, that becomes the focus of the conversations that I have with people. If you can get people to see, hey, look, stuff's going to happen. You get to choose what happens next and tie it into whatever environment they're in. That seems to resonate with people. It doesn't seem to matter if it's a group of villagers in Nicaragua, if it's a group of soldiers down at Fort Bragg. We did some work with the military. With the sum of our choices, and that seems to be apropos anyway. I think what people enjoy the most about working with me is I shut up and let them talk. So they make the motivational speeches about them.
Take notes, Scott.
Yeah, damn it, you beat me to it. I was just going to say, take note, Mike. Shut up and let me talk.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got a million things going on. Do you have anything? Now, your story is... it's pretty transcendent, like, and I know you had done things with Discovery and, like, Nat Geo. Do you have anything in the TV world going on or video? Or
actually, we do a little bit, but again, that's in negotiation stage. But, yeah, we're looking at a series of going to extreme corners of the world and seeing what we can find to play with there. Yeah.
It sounds like we got to really yell at Madonna when this interview's over.
You really do.
No, it actually wasn't her. There was the other one.
Oh. So I just want to yell at a person with actually the name of Madonna. That's just the point.
Isn't that cool? She's awesome. So let's see what I can tell. Oh, I am doing something. You know that Zambezi River, the one Victoria.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hippotec, all of that.
I heard a little bit about this from your from a little bird too. Also, go ahead.
So that when we did it last time, we were forced to skip a stretch of about 100 and something miles that flowed through this really cool exotic war zone called Angola. And
exotic war zone.
Yeah, that's a cool way of saying describing it, don't you think? Exotic war zone.
That's the name of my new cover band. We are Exotic War Zone.
The people who shoot at you have cute accents.
Come for the luxury. Stay because you're dead.
So, yeah, as long as we can avoid the crocodiles, the mines, or getting shot, I think we got a good shot at it. And so most of my team are still alive. And those of us that are, it's been almost 20 years since we last expedition together.
Oh, okay.
So in March...
What year, what year did the hippo thing happen? What year was that?
1996.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, yeah 20 years. Yeah.
So we're going to get all these blokes. We're probably going to have to get our canoes, especially both, because we've all put on a few pounds since our...
By that time, you're going to be half canoe. You're going to be like a transformer where you just, you just press a button. You're not going to have a problem.
I'm going on the river.
You're not going to have a problem at all.
There can be only one. So that's the plan. March 2018.
Going back.
We're going back. The team are going back, and we're taking a film crew down with that. So that could be kind of cool.
Is there a chance that that same hippo is still alive?
Not since... God, I hope not.
Oh, no. Not again.
Not again. Yeah, Act One, Take Three. Yeah. I don't know if my little ticky-ticker can handle that.
I don't think I could handle it. I'm not even going with you.
Yeah, like what did your wife say when you bring up some of this stuff out of curiosity? Well.
You know, she stopped listening to me a while back.
Paul, I mean that happens regardless. So
right. She's like, "Have you got your insurance paid up?" I'm like, "Yep."
What's your life insurance policy again?
Yeah, you know it's getting a little sketchy on finding them, but you know, I mean, God bless her. She's the most long suffering person I've ever known, and I definitely married up. But it's just like the universe is conspiring against us. Like when we were in Nicaragua. So we get there the one night. We pull into this place where we're staying. And like I mentioned, it's the lead up to elections. So things are a little etchy. And it turns out there's a wedding near this place where we're staying. So Kerry had bought me these lovely, like, noise-canceling headphones. So I go to bed that night, and I just sleep like the sleep of the dead. I have the best night's sleep. I wake up in the morning, and people are looking a little shocked. And I'm like, what's going on? And Madonna's like, what the hell? Did you not hear all the fighting outside just, like, 6-10 feet away from you last night? I'm like, no. So that's an example of I live this serene life. Crap may go on around me, but it's just... You know, the environment is what it is. Just keep showing up, doing the next right thing, and it seems to work out.
So now, like, how do you plan to, like, you got a lot of, you know, what do they say, irons in the fire, different things going on. How do you balance your time between your personal family and then the family that you meet through your work and your charity and whatnot? Like, how do you, one, balance that? And not only that, like, going to the Himalayas to climb Everest. And, you know, like, I find a hard time doing the podcast, going to work, and doing stand-up at night and seeing my family. Like, I find a hard balance of that. You're halfway across the world half the time, you know? Like, how do you balance that?
You know, that's, to me, that is the very biggest challenge out of all of this. And I got this day job, which gets in the way too. I have a small consulting firm that pays most of the bills. So I'm typically out of town. I fly out usually late Monday, and I try to fly back in Thursday. So I have Friday, Saturday, Sundays and Mondays at home.
Okay.
If I'm going international, I try and do it on a weekend. So fly on a Thursday or Friday, back on the Monday or Tuesday. So as each year goes by, traveling less and like just getting smarter with my travel.
Right.
And then I've got people like you've mentioned, Madonna and Susan. I've got a team around me who are just phenomenal, and they just make sure I'm in the right place at the right time.
Now, how does Madonna balance her music career and, you know, helping people out?
Well, she found that living in England and like being able to speak with that really cool accent. There's so many ways I could take that. She's good.
Yeah. She says, "Hey." But so, what's coming up? What's the most initial thing coming up? And like, where are you doing speaking and whatnot?
The coolest thing coming up is either later this month or next month. Going to Israel.
Oh.
To spend some time with, to me, one of the most incredible dudes who ever walked this planet, a guy called Yossi Ginzburg. He had this incredible adventure down the Amazon. Talk about things going pear-shaped. Just about everyone died. I think everyone did die except for him. And he spent like 3 weeks walking out of the Amazon. And
so you death guys, you got you near death guys, just like hang out. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to go and spend a day or two with him in Israel. And we're going to – he's done some pretty cool stuff. He's pretty politically and socially involved now. And, yeah, we'll have a chat and see where that goes. And that's the kind of thing we're going to be filming moving forward.
I got to ask you, is there any fear left in your body, or are you just numb to it, or you just put it in the back of your mind? Is there anything you just sit back and you won't do?
Brussels sprouts.
Really?
You're afraid of them?
I don't like Brussels sprouts. I won't do Brussels sprouts.
I make some good ones. My parents came over for Christmas. And
love them.
Yeah, really? Pan-seared. Yeah. You come to Jersey, I'm going to pan-sear you some. You're changing your mind.
Yeah.
There you go. Then
this is the inspirational talk of Michael Berlew to Paul Templer.
Yeah.
You can do it, Paul. You will like this. Listen, and you would tell your friends.
Sometimes
you know, I might just take you up on that when I'm in New Jersey.
Paul, sometimes we got to get over obstacles in life. Listen, a little salt, a little pepper, a little garlic, a little bacon, and some.
I do like the bacon idea.
And some Brussels sprouts. Yeah. Knock your balls off, unless they're gone already.
Yeah. Still got Scott, those. I'm in the Himalayas. Cute little story.
Funny story. You guys want a podcast?
In my mind, I'm like, do I tell the story because my team will lose their mind? Okay, I've opened the door. There we go. So, you know the Hippo Attack, the original 1.0?
Yeah, Hippo 1.0. Yeah. The first movie was the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fourth one was weird.
Wasn't even a hippo anymore.
Yeah,
CGI.
It was robotic.
CGI.
It was weird.
Yeah.
So I'm getting into the canoe, and I'm putting on, I got a shoulder holster with this .357 Magnum revolver. And as I'm cinching it up, the strap breaks. Okay. So I'm like, crikey, I need this gun because what if something wants to eat us? So I take it off that strapping and I just put it onto my belt strap that's holding my pants up and paddling along. Anyway, fast forward to Hippo Attack. And so I've got the .357 sitting flat across my lap on my crutch. You can see where this is going, can't you?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So Hippo Attack goes. End of Hippo Attack. There's a tusk has gone through the holster, hit the gun, skidded off, torn through my shorts, left everything intact. But by the grace of God, had that strap not broken, we would not be talking.
Wow. Huh. So
Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts.
Wow, that's pretty wild, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, someone wanted you still around.
Right.
Yeah, something happened. But all right, Paul. If anybody wants to check you out or send a message to you, maybe after they hear this, or even just say hello and find out more about you, where can they go?
PaulTemplar.com is probably the easiest place to go. And the grown-up version of me resides at Templar Foundation. Or if anyone here has companies where their executives don't play nicely together and they're sick of all the BS, then go to opusdynamic.com.
Opus Dynamic. All right. Hmm. All right.
Yeah.
So, Paul, I mean, I wish you luck. You got a million things going on. I hope we talk again after you get, you know, back from Everest, back from...
After a quarter of these stories, I got my fingers crossed for a talk to him again.
What's the line on that? Did you check?
I'm calling Vegas.
Yeah. but you got a lot of different really cool things going on. It's, you know, it's really interesting to hear, and I'm glad to hear that you're still going and doing different things and reinventing yourself, and... wish you the best of luck with all of that.
Hey, thank you, and thanks for calling. It's been kind of fun chatting with you guys again.
It's always awesome.
That's what we always say. We're kind of fun to chat with. That's how we sell ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are.
We're somewhat fun.
We're not the great interviewers. Yeah. We're just kind of fun to talk to somewhat.
Yeah.
That's a new
This
tag.
Is a recording, right? Mm-hmm.
It is. Sorry. It is.
Yeah. Feel free to chop the piece off about the gun on the crotch if it makes me look like an idiot.
No, that's one of the best parts of it.
Yeah.
We were going to cut we were actually going to cut everything else but that.
We had 2 minutes with Paul Templar. All he could do was talk about his crotch. It's weird.
Actually, I didn't record any of it. So
he just seems to be preoccupied with the whole thing. Yeah.
You said gun and crotch, and then I hit record. So.
Nice.
All right, Paul.
Seriously, thanks for this. And hey, I owe you guys an apology. A while back, you guys had a celebration, a milestone, and I'd meant to send you a congratulations, and I didn't. So, congratulations! You guys have taken this and are taking it to a very cool place. So, congrats, man.
Oh, thank you so much. I think it was our 50th episode. We were doing little, like, call-ins or something.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, you'll be episode 131. 131. Cool. So,
less dramatic.
So there's that's correct. There's over 130 hours of us talking into these microphones out there. Also, I want a book, but I want you to sign it. So.
Oh, I'll totally do it. Why don't you... Send me your address, or send Susan your address, and she'll send one. I'll sign one, and we'll send it across to you guys.
Sounds good,
both of you.
Also, are you ever in Jersey, New York area ever? Or?
I am occasionally. Hmm. Yeah.
Well, one. I mean, if you're doing talks, I would love to just come out and meet in person. But the other thing is, do these like monthly comedy shows where I attach a charity to everyone. Like every show I attach like a 50-50, and the restaurant we do it at donates 10% of all the food and drinks. I don't know if like one of your charities would be, you know, one of the charities we could attach to one of them.
Would be awesome.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Very easy. Awesome. Very easy to do, and it's actually minimal setup. It's just basically come out to the show, get a, you know, and we keep it free to the public, and that's kind of the whole inspiration is to, instead of paying for tickets, throw some money towards the 50-50, and it's been good. You know, it's been a couple $100 each time, so
keep brilliant. Yeah. That would be awesome. I'm going to take you up on that.
Awesome.
100%.
Cool.
I think I have, the February show might be a good one. The headliner is Eddie Brill. He was David Letterman's warm-up comic for like 17 years, so that might be a good show to attach to.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And what date is that in February?
That is February 23rd. February
23rd. Okay.
It's a Thursday night. So.
Oh, okay.
So it's in...
Cool.
It's been cool. It's they've been... I don't know if you call them selling out when they're free, but they've been selling out, filling up before we even like...
People are reserving spots, and they've been looking forward to it, and it's growing.
So that's February 23rd. I mean, I could email all the information to...
if you would, because that's... I'm just looking on my calendar. That date actually would work. So cool.
Oh.
Sure, man. I mean, we could even get you up there or something.
I can tell some hippo jokes.
Exactly.
What did the one-armed man say to the rest of the people?
I don't remember.
start working on some material.
Paul, but dead serious, we could set something up. And after you do all this next round of stuff, let's get you on again.
Cool. And we'll see how much of me is left for that one.
Yep. Don't even say that, man.
You see, that's why I called the book What's Left of Me.
I know. I got the the joke.
See, Scott, what happens is he lost body parts.
Hey, I love that he has to explain the title.
Gentlemen, you have a wonderful evening.
You're the best, Paul. Take care.
Take it easy. Cheers.
All right. Paul Templer, man. Paul Templer.
Always fun. Always got a smile on his face. He laughs off.
It's this weird thing where he like represents like a timestamp for me. Like it's like he was a timestamp on the show that it was a very. I mean, this is the episode I sent to everyone. Like the first one, I was like, "Oh my god, I'm proud of this!" Like we got
like the origin of when we said, "Oh my god, let's have some fun with this."
Yeah, like let's get guests on. I wasn't just talking to you and Doug, you know. Like it was like let's get guests on and try different things, and like the show really became a guest based show. Like after I brought you back, I brought like friends on. Mm-hmm. Like to talk, but it was never like let's go seek out people. And it was like, you know, and that's what's cool. Like a show evolved, you know, a show kind of evolved. It's definitely Verbal Shenanigans is a guest based show. That's the strength of the show, you know,
exactly.
And it's going to be. And you know, like hopefully we can still keep getting guests. And I don't think there will ever. Our imagination is what will limit what we can get, you know. Mm-hmm. And so Paul Templer like represents that like. First, like, oh my god, you know, and it's cool, like, him to come back, and hopefully, like, we even get him on the to come down to the comedy show or something. That'd be really fun.
That'd be insane. Yeah. I mean, it goes back even to Eddie Brill, how we got him. It's like, my god, he's worked with everybody. He worked with Letterman for 17 years. Why the hell is he talking to us? And even when he's like, tell me about your writing, it wasn't like he was just like being nice and pushing off. He's like, wow. You know, you got to think of this and that, and it's your style. You know, just keep working it.
Super nice guy. But, you know, like, I always take this episode, a year in review kind of episode. I think we did two of these before, too. Like, you know, to think back a little bit. And, like, you know, you beat yourself up sometimes over, like, hey, why'd the listens go down? This I mean, a lot of the stuff we don't control.
I mean, we got to think of another strategy. I mean, that's obvious. In the old days, it was just put a hashtag on any word in the alphabet. And it's somewhat work. Now it's just a matter of getting some more strategy into it. I mean,
Obi's still kicking. He's doing his part.
I mean, kind of what we talked about just as we record. Like, at first you asked me what kind of shows do you remember, and I didn't have anything off the top of my head. And then I look back, and Keith Allen, super cool. I mean, Z Nation's coming back in our season. He was, like, really laid back telling stories about the show. I mean, Jim Peplinski.
Yeah, that was
just
fun.
On a silly little...
On a bit of, like, me playing crappy sports songs, you know, to you.
Yeah. I mean, Larry Zerner. I mean, he was fun. I mean,
Ian Petrell, the very last episode, Christmas Story. You know? It's weird.
I mean, it's just fun how, like, you know you could be calling them and then being like, all right, let's get through to Friday the 13th and Christmas Stories. But they were just laid back and cool, and it's like, I go through some people I like, some people I don't like, but it's part of my life.
I would think that's like another message from the show is that everyone we talk to is so down to earth, like usually. Like, we haven't really run into any, like, too many prima donnas. Like,
no.
I mean, Terry Tate. He's like, Terry, we'll talk to you at this time on the phone. You know,
that was still one of the best interviews we ever had.
100%.
And he was true. He came back.
He did. Yeah. He did.
He did.
With Trump.
Yeah.
Yep.
And College Humor.
But he also said he was going to come back with like something with the NFL Network, and then that never turned up.
I'm sure. It's kind of like what Paul was talking about. You have these visions. It's like, it's so close, it's going to happen, and then
goes away.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, are you a, I don't know, do you make, like, resolutions, New Year's resolutions at all?
Nothing official that I, like, announce. I mean, in the back of my head, it's like, all right, I gotta really do X, Y, and Z in 2017. But I'm not the person who's like, I'm in the gym, January 4th, like I said, look at me going.
Is that an actual person, like, that does that?
In my head. That's exercise for a loop.
And he pushes down like a bird?
He's a crane.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah. I think he was with like my Waller's imaginary friend.
I actually wrote down my 2017 goals, and I'm not really a resolution guy.
Okay.
One thing I did do this year that I committed to, I quit chew. I quit...
you were talking about last year.
Yeah, last year. I actually committed to that. I quit December 9th of last year.
All right.
And haven't had one since, which is good. Because I was on and off here, there, quit for 2 months, quit for 3 months. So that was a pretty good thing. So I'm now over a year without having any chew or dip, which is great.
Okay.
This year I wanted to run a couple comedy shows, and I wanted to... The other goal was really to try to average 4 shows a month, like where that average would be once a week. And I think I pretty much hit it. I'd have to look back, but I think I'd be damn close if I didn't hit it. Yeah. So that was a goal. But I wrote down my 2017 goals.
Okay.
And I figured I'd share them just because.
Yeah, why not?
So I broke it down into comedy and personal. So
all right.
Comedy was, number one was write. Okay, because it's something I definitely... I'm up and down with it. I go through peaks and valleys where I write like a madman. I write a whole, what could be 8 minutes out, and then I don't write for a month, month and a half.
Want me to text you every morning at 5 a.m.?
No. Oh, we've been through that before. I said continue to average 4 shows a month. So just continue. I think that's a perfect average for me. I don't want to go to 10 shows a month or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be cool, but... I said, get my first real feature spot. That's
a
obtainable goal.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely have the material. It's just getting booked is the hard part.
Exactly.
As the feature. I put, propose my comedy craft beer flight, which I've talked to you about, which is me and Mark trying to work on something. So, and do it once. That's the other part. Do it. And the other thing would be like continue to... have monthly shows at Tap House and possibly maybe like one other place. So maybe where it could be like a... I don't want to be a promoter because then it's like... takes the joy out of it a little bit. But
then nobody takes you serious as a comedian. I mean, let's be serious.
Yeah, and the Tap House thing, like, that's all I really want to do, to be honest. And maybe see where we can take that. So that seems to be all obtainable. I only write very obtainable goals. Now, personally, I put read more. Number one, I got to read more, man. All these people put on amazing books. And I love when I actually sit down and read, I love it. But it's just, I just avoid reading. Like, I watch TV. Yeah. So, read more was one. Begin to write my teaching book.
Interesting.
So, I have a whole idea. I want to write about a male perspective in teaching.
Is it like an autobiography or 100%, directional?
No, 100% about me and just stories and funny stories and my thoughts and the problems and the individual stories, stuff like that. It'd be like my exit.
I hear you.
Yeah, I was supposed to say. Number three was eat more vegetables. I just got to eat.
Really? Because every time I come here, when I see you guys cook, I always see you like chopping up veggies.
Yeah, yeah. I love veggies. I think I could eat more. Like I was thinking about doing the juice thing, which you know maybe we could try on the cast. Maybe
I've done it before. I got a juicer. I got the Jack LaLanne. That's like the top of the line shit.
I got the Jack LaLanne 5000. 20 blades. It's got 20 blades.
Yeah, I mean, if you put an arm in there, you'll be amazed.
I want to try maybe me and Alex were talking about the juicing thing.
I can bring it over if you guys want to try it.
I want to try it maybe like for breakfast. Like just have a juice for breakfast. I'm not a big, during the week anyway, I'm not a big breakfast guy. So if I can load up a million veggies in one shake for breakfast, then I'm ahead of the game.
Yeah, the smart thing is you put some fruits in there that you like and then put it in the background, certain vegetables.
Yeah.
I mean, it all depends on your taste buds, like. Celery, I can't put in anything. I can't even put like one strain down there because I can instantly taste it. I'm really? Like, ugh, I can't.
Celery's so like kind of tasteless too.
I'm not a huge celery person.
Well, maybe we could do like a juice off or something like that.
See
who can juice long, like survive on.
That was
the other thing, the vegan thing. I was like, I could knock this out, and I just forgot.
That one was a surprise. I figured you would just went like that.
I don't know. you would think a lot of those things. One was I've done a pretty good job of eat less and less sugar. Okay, I weaned a lot of sugar out of my diet. Not that I was ever I'm actually not a big sweets guy, but I still have like things that have sugar in them every once in a while.
Yeah,
and that's like the ultimate worst thing you could put in your body is basically sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Next one was to bike more frequently.
Okay,
because I love whenever I do it, I love it. I just again,
it's the time of getting it out, just prepping yourself, even if the weather is a little
it's
off.
It's just me being just lazy. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. It's just let's just call it like it is. It's me. Yeah, tomorrow, next weekend, later, next month. Before you know it, a year goes by and I biked four times. You know.
Yeah.
So I would like to bike maybe once a week, even just take a ride. I would like to keep hiking about two times a week.
Yeah.
So keep that average.
Hiking, that's always a good thing. I love doing that.
I would like to get back on my consistent gym routine. Because, again, it was here, there, everywhere. With the book thing, I put, if I could just do 1,000 words a week, which is nothing. But if that's like a goal, like 1,000 words a week is like nothing.
Yeah, that's about 130 something a day.
Yeah, exactly.
Somewhere in that
nothing.
Range. Yeah,
nothing.
40 somewhere.
You could sit down and blast that 1,000 in 10 minutes, you know, but you just. But I feel like if I keep a goal, 1,000 a week, if I keep goals like that are not super cumbersome, like, oh my God, yeah. I'd say avoid any angry explosions ever. Whether it's fighting with the girlfriend, whether it's work, whether it's getting pissed about anything, never getting to a point.
So I don't think we'll talk about it, but that thing 2 days ago.
I did not explode. None at all.
I mean, we're not.
But
we'll go into it. But
avoid any like where it gets me to a point where I'm losing control.
Mm-hmm.
You could be angry about something. That's fine.
Yeah.
Travel to a new place. Was another one. Just pick a new destination. Make sure you go to it. Do more things with family. You know.
Okay.
And, you know, like I said, that's why like New Year's things gets a little depressing for me. It's another year. It's like my parents are older. My brother's older. My sister's. You know. Like so, do more things like with my mom and dad. Like they're not just like, hey, it's mom and dad. Like it's fun to be with mom and dad. You know. Like. One was explore other jobs. If not, take more classes.
That's on my list.
Yep. And then the last one was lose 10 pounds.
My number's higher.
Yeah. Well, mine, I don't feel fat. I just feel.
Well, you're skinnier than me. That's
I just
obvious.
Feel not as fit as I could be.
Yeah.
So that I this is the first time I actually wrote it out. And my whole goal was just make accomplishable goals. Don't make anything crazy.
Like, yeah.
Not one of those I don't think is out of this world. Like,
no, nothing. I sit back and go, nah.
I mean, if you say write a book, that's a big goal. If you say write 1,000 words a week, that's not that hard, you know. Like,
no.
You know, or average 1,000 words a week. I can sit down and knock out 2,000 words right now. You know, it's nothing.
Yeah,
but so those are my personal.
Yeah, maybe I'll work on mine. I'll bring it up another time.
Yeah. Did you? What'd you do for New Year's?
New Year's, I went out to a bar in Newton. I saw a good friend of the show, podcast, Jackie Byrne. She was doing MC work for a bar local out there for New Year's. Easily, me and Izzy were 20 years younger than anybody else in the crowd. So it was
20 years younger.
20 years younger.
Wow.
Easily. I mean, it was an interesting experience. Ted Daniels was headlining. I'm trying to remember. I think it's Michael Chang.
Yeah.
It's either Michael Chang or Ted Chang. He was like the middle person. And he talks about his culture and he made a joke about Asians eating dogs. And there was one woman in the crowd that was like super insulted about it. And it was just like a weird situation where he just looked over at her. She's like, are you really insulted? She's like, yes, I'm very insulted by what you said. And he's like, hey, you know, I apologize, but, you know, these are my jokes. This is part of the culture. I don't do anything with dogs. It's just a fact of life that the Chinese community does that with dogs. And it was just kind of a weird thing. But pretty much at when the clock struck midnight at 12:02, there was nobody left in the bar. And like even like Jackie and her fiance Jay were kind of like, nothing's going to happen here. Let's get out of here.
What time did the comedy show end?
It ended probably like a good 10 minutes before.
Hmm. And they all scattered before the
They went into the bar because they're showing the Dick Clark
Happy
Seacrest New Year thing. And then, like I said, literally as it hit zero and everybody said Happy New Year and hugged, it was pretty much all the comedians and me and Izzy.
Gotcha. So it was kind of
it wasn't ruckus. I mean, but at the same time, it was nobody went into it figuring, okay, the average age of the crowd would be mid-60s.
Exactly. Well, yeah, it happens. We didn't do anything crazy for New Year's. Just went to my sister's and then stopped at my buddy Mike's house. Nothing crazy. Mm. But best part of my New Year's Eve was Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
The greatest thing ever. I was laughing so hard because my friend Jackie she loves like pop singers, like really good singers because she could sing, stuff like that. She always gives them like credit. Like I'm laughing the whole time. I'm like, she's lip singing so bad. She's not even doing anything.
It's obvious every single time, too. It pisses me off.
And then she's like, well, you know, like, stop laughing at her. And then Alex says, stop laughing. I'm like, I'm cracking up because she's just disaster. Like, the best part is like, she's like, comes out and she's like, and she's like a deep voice. She's like, I don't know what to do. I can't hear my track. So, Happy New Year. And the best is like, she's like moving slowly, but all her dancers are still doing the choreographed dance and like walking her over. And she's like, goes to sing for a second, like, but meanwhile, she's talking all low, like, Happy New Year, people. And then in the background is all those like crazy high Mariah Carey voices from like the 80s. So it's like, I love a shit show like that. That's what you get for not singing your songs. That's what you get.
I never get the whole concept. I know people say, well, we come more to see them dance and perform. So my question is, well, why don't they just dance and perform and have their music in the background? Why even fake that you're singing and it's just so silly? And then you got, you know, the situation with Mariah Carey, Jessica Simpson's sister, was it Ashley Simpson? Remember that on SNL? She started doing a hoedown.
I love it.
I mean, there was a few things. It's just like, if you're not going to sing, don't pretend to sing.
Don't do it. So it's like, she comes out. Now, the other thing I had, you know this song, what do they call it? The New Year song.
Shall all acquaintance be forgot?
That was my exact question. Would you know any of the words to that song?
You pretty much heard all of them.
I brought them up before. I lost them, apparently.
Shall all acquaintance be forgot? That's pretty much all I got.
Let's bring them up real quick. Let's bring them up. What is it even called? All lang sing. So, here, okay. So, all right, here's the original verse. Okay. So, what did you say? Okay, go ahead.
Shall all acquaintance be forgot?
Okay, close. Should old acquaintance be forgot? Mm. Okay, then what did you say?
Tomorrow.
Close.
Yeah.
And never brought to mind.
Okay.
And then.
Then they repeat.
Should all the acquaintance be forgot?
Pass.
And old lang syne.
Okay.
For all lang syne, my dear. I don't even know if that's how you say it.
What?
We will take a cup of kindness yet for all lang syne. And surely you'll buy your pint cup, and surely I'll buy mine. And we'll take a cup of kindness yet for all lang syne. We too have fun about the slopes and pick the daisies fine.
I've never heard these later.
But lyrics. We've wandered many a weary foot since auld lang syne.
Lang syne?
I guess. I don't know. That's what it says.
What does that even mean?
That's the name of the song, Auld Lang Syne. We two have paddled in the stream from morning sun till dine. But seas between us broad have roared, sing Auld Lang Syne. And there's a hand, my trusty friend, and give me a hand of thine. And we'll take a right good-willed drought for Auld Lang Syne. There's no way that anybody goes into that knowing those lyrics.
Especially with six drinks into them.
Yeah. Like, I'd have to lip sync. I'd have to lip sync for sure. First off, I'm the worst with lyrics ever. All the songs I love for my whole life, I'm like, I just sing the first like line and then the second, like the last thing.
Mm-hmm.
But here she is. Okay. Now she's not even looking at the camera. So she's being fluffed by a bunch of
feathers.
Yeah.
Now we're gonna get crazy.
Here we go. Now this is where it gets good. Hey, everybody, happy New Year! And they're like,
is that my favorite party?
Here we go.
You got a little Hamilton. Well,
now she has her big beefy ass. Like she should not be in there.
I dig the curves. So I can't deny it.
Happy New Year. She's siliconed out. Her face looks like kind of like a comedian I know.
Now she's just talking to a stall.
She just tried to sing the first two words. But it is now. This is what I love. The high. I can't say it all. I can't say it. And the guys in the background are like, into it.
You got me feeling emotions.
What I'm thinking is if she's bombing, I'm dancing harder because this video is going to be watched 10 times more than if she did good.
Mario, I practiced 10 hours every day for the last 3 weeks. I'm going for it.
No, but look, she's bombing. I'm like, everyone's going to be looking at Mariah Carey bombing. No one's going to look at Mariah Carey performing. So, there, you hear the high voice? She's like, hello. She sounds like she smoked 1,000 cigarettes a day. She's trying to let the crowd sing.
That reminds me, like, when I went to see Frankie Valli, and the guy was, like, 75 years old, and every time, like, the Sherry song, he'd be like, everybody! Every high pitch.
I don't know if I ever even talked about this. That's how I met Joe Fernandez. I worked at a TV station. But we used to film, like I used to be on these freelance jobs, and we used to record all these awful doo-wop bands.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come out, it'd be like the Four Seasons with Frankie Valli's brother. Like, it was just like, and he'd be like, and they'd all like let the crowd sing, and they'd come out and sing these awful songs. Yeah. Oh my God. I don't
like the one part that you come to listen to them for. They're like, everybody! You like the walk like a man. He said,
walk like a man, talk like a man,
walk like a man, yeah.
Well, I always think that's like what they do and they can't sing it anymore or can't cut it. But she made my night. I was dying laughing.
I didn't hear about it the next day, and then when I watched it, it was just like phenomenal. I'll give her credit. She just, on Twitter, she pretty much said, shit happens, happy new year, and she laughed it off.
That's all you do, and then if she goes out and does like a great concert, no one will care.
No.
Yeah, she just messed up. But, that was New Year's. Now, back to work, back to the whole thing, all that. So, what do you got?
So, as we were talking about New Year's 2016, we lost a lot of celebrities, a lot of people that...
God damn you, 2016!
So, I have a little NCAA bracket, if you will, of dead celebrities.
Okay.
And Scott Brendan, you are going to tell us who you wish is still alive, whether for if it's funny, if it's you miss them at their prime.
So I got to go through the whole bracket.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
So I got a few brackets.
Wait,
here.
Let's get some let's get some sports music going.
All right.
Like where it makes a little.
I basically got four categories, which is entertainment, sports, music, and other.
Oh, so those are the brackets. That's a good idea.
There's eight in each bracket, and then they'll come together, and you will tell us who should be alive in 2017. Okay.
All right, I'm ready. You should put this up during March Madness and let fans vote.
All right, that's cool. All right, I'm going to go to the entertainment category. Carrie Fisher versus Gary Shandling.
Not even a question. Growing up a big Star Wars fan, it would be Carrie Fisher.
All right.
Although, I mean, let's face it, we all knew that was coming eventually.
Next one is Gene Wilder versus Gary Marshall.
Gene Wilder all the way. Big fan of Willy Wonka and big fan of just his... You know, he was a pretty crazy actor back in the day when there wasn't a lot of them. So
very underrated. Love him with teaming up with Richard Pryor. Great comedy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Alan Thicke versus Kenny Barker, who was R2-D2.
Again, gonna go with what I grew up on, R2-D2 all the way. I know he was just a midget in a can basically, and was able to waddle the robot. But you know what? I want him there. I like the nostalgia of the whole cast getting together.
Was he in that suit for the 2 seconds R2-D2 was in Rogue One?
No, I actually think he's dead. He was dead maybe last year. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
It's hard to say. And the batter...
Because it's weird when you stuff midgets in robots, but when you stuff old midgets who are sickly into the robot...
Somebody open it up. Uh-oh.
Just bury him in it.
Let's put it back in the prop section.
Someone will find this for episode 8.
And finally, in this round, Battle of the Mothers, Florence Henderson versus Doris Roberts, who was Everybody Loves Raymond.
Florence Henderson was who again?
Mrs. Brady.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm going to go Miss Brady.
All right.
Just because I watched that more when I was a little kid than Raymond, really.
All right. We're going to sports. Arnold Palmer versus John Saunders of ESPN.
Palmer all the way. Palmer's a name that's going to live on for forever.
A battle of the fighters. Kimbo Slice versus Muhammad Ali.
Now, I'm going to go Kimbo Slice.
Oh.
Because, listen. Muhammad Ali... Greatest, one of the greatest of all time, debate it, whatever, top four, whatever, if not top one. Kimbo Slice had a lot of entertainment years left.
Yeah.
Kimbo Slice versus whoever, whatever celebrity, at the end would have been really fun. Kimbo Slice versus,
you ever saw William Perry versus Manute Bol in celebrity boxing?
That's exactly what I'm thinking about, that kind of thing. There's a lot of entertainment value left in Kimbo Slice. Mm-hmm. He left us too soon. Muhammad Ali, he was suffering towards the end. Got to go Kimbo Slice.
All right. Battle of one of the greats versus potential greats. Jose Fernandez of the Marlins versus Gordie Howe.
Oof. And the question is, who would I want still alive? Yeah.
Who you want to bring back to life? It doesn't matter for whatever
I got to bring Jose Fernandez back. 20-something years old, 26 years old. That's not a life, man.
Yeah.
It's not a man who could have, like a lot of these pitchers, but could have really been one of the best.
And finally in the category, Pat Summitt versus Craig Sager.
I hated Craig Sager. So I'm going Pat Summitt. Oh. I respected Pat Summitt.
One of the best coaches of all time.
I thought she was awesome. As a coach, looking at a coach, Craig Sager, I thought it was just kind of pissed me off. He was more of a gimmick. He was like Walt Frazier.
Gotcha.
So,
all right.
Those are my. That's yeah.
All right. So that round's done. So let's go to music. George Michael versus David Bowie.
Not even a contest here, Michael. I like how I did, Man on the Street. Thank you, Michael. I can hear you glad and clear. Not even a contest, but David Bowie, 100%. George Michael, I didn't think was anything special musically. I obviously sad that he left us. but I'm not breaking my heart about it. I mean, I wasn't a big Bowie fanatic or anything, but I thought Bowie did a lot more for music than George Michael ever would.
All right. Prince versus Merle Haggard.
Wow, Prince all the way. Prince was, he was one of those guys that when I was growing up, I always thought he was just like this weird gay man. turns out he wasn't gay. Got a boatload of chicks, and I thought he was like a pop star. He was like an insanely talented musician that until I was older, I didn't realize it. When I was younger, I thought he was just like this weird guy. So Prince all the way, Merle Haggard. He lived a long life.
He did what he did.
Exactly. Yeah.
Prince, one of the best concerts I went to, one of the most underrated.
Oh, you went to Prince?
Oh, right. He was insane. Like he was playing with the crowd. He did like a 20-minute guitar solo. I'm like, oh my God, like I was dreading my girlfriend dragging me to this.
I was dreading my girlfriend dreading me.
All right, the next one. Matt Roberts from Three Doors Down versus Frank Sinatra Jr.
All right. I don't even know who Matt Roberts is, nor that he died. So God bless Matt Roberts. But anyone tied to old Blue Eyes over there, I'm going to go with him.
All right. And
I just watched an awesome documentary on Frank Sinatra. Really? Two-part. Amazing man. Mm. Amazing man.
And finally, Glenn Frey from the Eagles.
Yep.
Versus Fight Dog from Tribe Called Quest.
This is a tough one. That's probably the toughest of the bracket. This is like the
7 versus 8?
The 4-5 game in the bracket, yeah. Like where like you can go either way. Honestly, I'm going to go Fight Dog.
Okay.
Again, Glenn Frey, amazing musician. I don't think the Eagles have really done anything in a long time, like anything new, worthwhile. Tribe Called Quest just put out a very, very awesome album. Probably one of my albums of the year if I had to sit down and do it. Top five. Fife Dog, that's it for him, and they still had some potential. So gotcha. Fife Dog it is.
All right. Now, the others are just random celebrities. They could be diverse in any fields, and I grabbed them. The astronaut John Glenn versus Morley Safer from 60 Minutes.
That's going to be John Glenn all the way. I think these old school astronauts are few and far between. And they're all going to be dead very soon.
Yeah. Former First Lady Nancy Reagan versus Judge Antonin Scalia.
Definitely not Scalia. Scalia pretty much represents just no progress and pretty much hated a lot of the gays and all that. It's just like, no way. So I'm going to go with good old Nancy Reagan.
Okay. Janet Reno versus Harper Lee, the author of To Kill a Mockingbird.
Okay, I'm going to throw it out there. I don't care about either of them.
Mm-hmm.
I remember laughing very hard at the Dana Carvey, Janet Reno skit, so Janet Reno it is. That's it.
All right.
Who, by the way, I tried to get on the show. Not Janet Reno. Dana Carvey.
Yeah. All right. And the final one, I think you'll enjoy this one. Johnny Lauer, a.k.a. China, versus Lee Rareman, a.k.a. Hawk from American Gladiators.
When I watched wrestling, I hated China.
Mm-hmm.
I saw videos that I never wanted to ever see of China. And I still feel that way. Loved American Gladiators. Go Hawk.
All right. We're down with the first round, so let's get into the semis.
Okay. All right.
And we got, in entertainment, Carrie Fisher versus Gene Wilder.
All right. This is where my childhood is going to escape me. I'm going to go Gene Wilder because I thought he was... listen, Carrie Fisher was Princess Leia, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what she was. She was Princess Leia.
Yeah.
And we loved her. She was kind of a train wreck most of her life.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Wilder...
On a side note, did you hear all the crap with Steve Martin where he had to take
unbelievable.
The tweet?
People, we're going to hell.
Yeah.
People are offended by that. It's ridiculous. Maybe we'll get to that next week or something. But
sounds good.
Gene Wilder, I thought, was one of those like kind of one-of-a-kind kind of actors. Very different, very unique, and powerful. So, Gene Wilder.
All right. And Kenny Barker, R2-D2, versus Florence Henderson, Mrs. Brady.
I'm going R2-D2 on that one. didn't care about the Bradys too much. Sorry, Florence. I know you did a lot more. For people than R2 did, but going R2.
All right, we go down to sports, and it's Arnold Palmer versus Kimbo Slice.
I'm going to go, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going Kimbo Slice.
Again?
Again. Arnold Palmer served his time. Amazing golfer, won a lot of things. Who knows what we would have found Kimbo Slice in. All the celebrity rehab shows, Kimbo Slice dating shows, mm-hmm. weird YouTube videos with Kimbo Slice. Mm-hmm. We didn't get enough of Kimbo. No. We got way enough of Arnold Palmer. And there's a drink. There's no Kimbo Slice drink that you can order at a bar.
Exactly. Yep. And now we have Jose Fernandez versus Pat Summitt.
This is tough because you can go two ways. You can go two ways here because Jose Fernandez being so young and talented, but then Pat Summitt, an all-time legend. I'm going to go Pat Summitt. Reason being, okay, only reason I ever paid attention to really women's basketball at all, and I love those all-time coaches. I'm a sucker for it. I'm a sucker for, like, classic coaches. I'm a sucker for Coach K. I'm a sucker for just old-timey kind of things. I loved
the NC State coach. I forget his name.
Yeah, I mean, I also...
Valvano.
Valvano, yeah. I loved Tom Coughlin. He was, but that kind of thing. I love when guys get a big run and then it's sad when they're ending and sometimes teams never recover. I love Bill Cowher. I don't know. I'm a sucker for that. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Now we go to music. David Bowie versus Prince.
In an epic. That's like the block. That's like Duke and UNC meeting in the early stages of the round.
Like round three, semis.
Talent wise, I'm going Prince. That's it. I'm not elaborating.
No problem.
David Bowie. I never got super into either of them. Prince seemed to be a mega talent that might have done a lot more things than we even know about.
Okay.
All right.
And then we got Frank Sinatra Jr. versus Fife Dog.
Fife Dog's taking down Frank Sinatra Jr. because I can tell you one thing Frank Sinatra Jr. sang. So Fife Dog.
All right. In the other category, we have John Glenn versus Nancy Reagan.
Wow. John Glenn. John Glenn, I don't know. Astronauts, I think, are pretty awesome. I'd love to get one on the podcast, and there's one less we can get.
Yeah. So. Janet Reno versus Hawk from American Gladiators.
This is when, like Mammoth gets in versus, like
Florida A&T.
Yeah, yeah. Miami, Ohio. Like, American Gladiators. Meant more to me in my life than Janet Reno ever did. Don't really know what Janet Reno really did to this day.
True. All right, so we're closing out the categories. Gene Wilder versus Kenny Barker, R2-D2.
I'm going to go with Gene Wilder, Mike. I got to go. There's a point where you're like, okay, one's an actor, one just fit into the robot.
Gotcha.
So,
for sports, Kimbo Slice versus Pat Summitt.
Well, one, I would like to see that match in the cage.
That'd be awesome. I still think Pat would win that one, even with cancer.
It looked like his last match he had cancer. So, I'm sorry, Pat. Again, I'm reiterating the point that Kimbo Slice entertainment value.
Mm-hmm.
Could have done Saturday Night Live skits. Could have,
could have done one of those 1-800-COLLECT commercials.
Just the dumbness that was coming. Just the money grabs that were coming were so much more. Mm-hmm. Like, we could be... And again, I think we could have got him on the podcast eventually.
Could have.
Yeah. Pat Summitt, we never get.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So, sorry, Pat. Rest in peace. Kimbo, rest in peace also.
All right. For music, the finals in music, Prince versus Fife Dog.
All right, I'm going to have to go Prince. Not because of my personal listening, but because I know what Prince did for music. Fife Dog, amazing rapper. Prince, more talented overall.
Okay, and then other, it's John Glenn versus Hawk from American Gladiators.
The comedian to me would go with Hawk, but I'm going to go John Glenn.
John Glenn.
John Glenn, original astronaut. Again, one of those maybe like dream guests to get to talk to or interview, and we'll never get a chance to. So.
Yeah. Okay, now we're at the, what is it, the semifinals? When you got four left?
Yeah, semis.
All right, so we have Gene Wilder versus Kimbo Slice.
I feel like Lee Corso, where he puts on the head, like, this is the toughest matchup, which is weird. This is the toughest matchup yet for me. I'm sorry, Gene. I'm sorry. But once again, Kimbo Slice, to me, could be, he probably would have fought like old. Like, the kid got real weird with it.
Yeah. It's kind of like with, who's the one who worked with the Amish?
Vanilla Ice.
Yeah. I could totally see Kimbo Slice.
Exactly. Kimbo, like that. In a reality show, The Apprentice or something like that. I'm going with Kimbo Slice.
All right, Kimbo Slice is alive. In the other finals, we got Prince versus John Glenn.
The musician in me wants to take Prince, okay? Mm-hmm. But the interviewer and intriguing, amazing interview, like if I could interview two of them, I'd probably pick John Glenn. So I'm going to go with John Glenn.
I've been trying to get an astronaut on here.
Yeah, I'm going
to
go.
That's got to be an awesome
talk. Prince, the only reason I'm not picking him before I get scrutinized is because I wasn't super into his music as a kid or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It was more just a respect factor as I got older.
All right.
John Glenn.
So there, Scotty, we've gone through. We're at the finals. So please inform me who would be alive in 2017 if it was up to Scott Brennan. Would it be Kimbo Slice or John Glenn?
Now, here's the thing. The hacky, like, radio host in me wants to be like Kimbo Slice.
Yeah.
Because it's fun. The real, like, who would be more cool to get on the show? Probably John Glenn. So that's the toss up of it. I'm not saying either one yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to, like, tell you what's going on in my mind. Like, John Glenn lived a long life.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty long. He's probably, I don't know, what was he, 70, 90, 80?
I can look it up. I think it was like mid-70s he died.
So he lived a long life. Kimbo Slice, I recently even watched the documentary of him like with the backyard fighting, how he was like running those backyard fights and stuff, which, again,
I think in the end also he like lived in like a porn house where like girls are just on camera all the time. It's just like a really weird setup for a quote unquote professional fighter.
Yeah. So the interview value, as much as John Glenn is an all time, like Kimbo Slice is interesting. So it's like when we get like we got Captain Wild Bill and then we got like Inspector Collector, both equally interesting interviews.
Awesome interviews.
One bigger, one more unique.
Reasons. Yeah.
But if I'm thinking about the podcast and the show value,
yep,
I'm gonna go John Glenn.
All right,
John, I gotta be honest with myself. I gotta go with interviewing one of the original astronauts is pretty
freaking
rare
awesome.
And weird. Kimbo Slice would be like a Terry Tate thing for me. I'd be really pumped up about it, and it'd be funny in a way, but he might just turn out to be a complete piece of shit. So, John Glenn it is.
All right.
John Glenn it is.
You 31 other celebrities, you die with 2016. John Glenn, you come back to us.
Yeah. I love these people like, 2016? What do you think 2017? Every year that advances, more and more of our childhood heroes are going to be dead. So,
yeah.
You know, like, they're just getting older, and the drugs are going to finally, like, take away a lot of us, but
yeah, and I had to cut it down just to get it to 32.
was there enough for 64? That'd be probably.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean,
that's a good bit. I like.
Let
that.
Me look at the names I left off. There,
you should do more like more tournaments like that, but with different categories.
All right, yeah. I'm down with that. There was Kevin Meaney.
Oh, yeah.
There was.
I never got to meet him, but yeah. I hear great things.
Just since he was technically a celebrity, Anton Yetchin, who played Chekhov in the new Star Trek movies.
Yeah, Kimbo Slice can beat the shit out of him.
Ron Lester, who was Billy Bob in Varsity Blues.
Oh, the fat guy. Okay.
Yeah. George Gaines, who was Commandant Lasard and also the father and Punky Brewster.
Wouldn't care.
Yeah. Abe Vigoda.
Oh, yeah. He's a big one.
Yeah. Alan Hickman, who was the professor in the Harry Potter movies, the evil one.
Oh, Alan Rickman.
It said Hickman when it looked
at Rickman, man.
I'll look it up.
Professor Snipe.
Yeah.
Dude, Rickman was also Hans Gruber in Die Hard.
Die Hard, okay.
Yeah. Alan Rickman, he was a big deal.
I copied it right from CNN. They put it up as Hickman.
I feel like he probably could have took over Hawkspot on the on the list there, but call me crazy.
I mean, I would have had to put him in entertainment, so then it would have knocked off probably one of the Star Wars people earlier.
Tough. Would have been tough.
Yeah.
Tough. Like I said, R2-D2.
Oh, Alexis Arquette.
Okay. Yeah, Alan Rickman, I think, was the only one you really missed. Abe Vigoda was just old as shit.
Yeah. Like, I had on the list. I'm like, yeah, I don't even know if Scott knows this guy.
I mean, I know who he is, but it's not like I was a fan. Shit, I don't even know if my grandparents were fans.
Big old Abe Vigoda fan club. No!
Solid bit. Did you see Rogue One?
Yeah, I did.
It's good.
Solid. Yeah.
But let's get out of here.
All right.
Let's get out. We can save the other stuff for the next episode, people. Anything to promote, Mike Bro?
I'll promote. I mean, you might bring it up in the new shows, but Brook Hollow Winery, great place. We did a show there, Columbia, New Jersey. Fantastic wines. They have wine slushies there that are absolutely fantastic. Me and Izzy go up there all the time. Highly recommend, right off of Route 94 in Columbia, New Jersey, and right by the Wolf Preserve up there in
the Columbia area. Awesome. Well, that was one of the announcements planned for the show. Brook Hollow Winery, we're going to be doing a second comedy show there. The first one was for a private party, so I didn't know how that was going to go, but it went pretty well. So he wants to try it again.
And this is a public one.
This is a public one. This is pretty much straight up. And I like the way he did the deal. Very cheap. It's $25 for a glass of wine, dinner, dessert, and the show.
And I've been there for their dinners. They make great dinners.
Yeah,
there.
I mean, the dinner was great at our show that we did. On that is headlining is Mike Gaffney. Jackie Bird and Ritu Chen are going to be on that, and I'm either going to host or do a small spot, but we'll see how it goes. And I mean, the deal, you can't beat it. You really can't beat it. But
can't go wrong with
a whole bunch of things to promote here. January 19th, back at Tapas 15. The show is loaded. Kevin Israel is headlining. Ritu Chandra, Adam Lucidi, and Brett Druck are on the show. And that's a fundraiser for Oscar, which is another pet rescue.
Oh.
Okay. And the other one I wanted to announce, February 23rd. Okay. That is another show at Tap House. Not sure of the charity yet, but maybe if you heard our conversation with Paul, maybe it'll be him. But it's Rich McDonald, okay, which you know, we've done the show. Aaron McGuire, Joe Pontillo, and Eddie Brill is going to come do close out the night.
Sweet.
Which is pretty cool.
A legend.
Here's a guy who's done a million things, and he's not doing it for much. He's just going to kind of come and do it. So that should be a pretty cool one. So if you're interested, make reservations at Tap House 15 for any of these shows. And hopefully we keep on going. We're talking about a whole bunch of different things going on there. And I guess that's really it. But that show is exploding.
Awesome.
Every single week. Every single month it seems to be getting crazier. Mm. In fact, almost too crazy last time. But no, it was just so many people. Like, we're almost running out of room. So, but I guess that's it, guys. With the new year coming, the best thing you can do for us is leave us a review on iTunes. The second best, actually, probably the first best thing is share it with your friends. Share it with people. We can only do so much. There's 9,000 ways to listen to this podcast. Stitcher. I just submitted to iHeartRadio, Spreaker, a million, Google Play, it should be on now, Podbean, iTunes. You're lying if you can't find it. Or just like a normal person, type in Verbal Shenanigans in Google and you'll find it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Vote for us on Podcast Land.
Oh, Podcast Land. We're trying to win it for once.
Yeah.
We've come close. It's my campaign to win it for once. All you have to do is enter your email and just confirm that you voted. That's it. 2 seconds.
Yep.
So we're in the lead as of today. We're crushing in a landslide. But we know how sneaky some of them get. But I don't know. Podcast Land, all that stuff. That's it. Let's get the hell out of here. It's a long cast. Life is funny, people. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Here's to another year of this shit show ahead. Yeah. Boy.
We couldn't get John Glenn to sing for this ending.
Well, maybe we'll get Paul Tempo to sing the next verse.
Oh, nice. Well, life is just a party, and parties will end to last.